We're beginning a new series this weekend called Spirit-Filled, where we are looking at what does it mean and what does it look like for us to be filled with the Spirit. Living lives full of the Spirit is not a deluxe upgrade or option. It is meant for those who follow Jesus to be the way in which we live our lives. And I honestly believe that this series can be so transformative for our lives and for our community if we can together embrace the truth of God's word. Through this series, we're going to look at what does it mean to pray with the Spirit, that he comes and he helps us in our grieving. We're going to look at what does it mean to have the fruit of the Spirit develop in our lives, and what are the gifts of the Spirit, and how does the Spirit help us through suffering? It's going to be such an important series for us. And today we're kicking it off by looking at what does it mean to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4 and 5, it says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was saying this, I promise that a gift is coming. A gift is coming, but stay in Jerusalem. Don't do anything until you receive this incoming gift. Just wait. Before you go and preach to your neighbors, before you go and try and heal someone, before you go and deliver someone, before you go and serve the poor, before you go and love your neighbor, before you go and do anything, wait until you've received this gift. And what's wild to me is that Jesus is saying this to the people who had lived with him, the people who had walked with him, who had ate with him, cried with him, talked with him, the people who lived the Jesus way with Jesus. To those people who saw everything, experienced everything that he did, he's saying, you need to wait until you receive this gift. To the people that he had given his authority to in Matthew 10, which was never taken back, he says, wait. You have my authority, but wait until you receive the gift. You would think that if anyone was primed and positioned to go and do ministry and to love and serve their neighbors, it was the people that Jesus was talking to. But he says, wait until you receive the gift. Because Jesus knew if they were going to truly change the world, if they were going to truly embody Jesus' presence on earth, they needed more than information or education or experience. They needed power. And so Jesus says this in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To put it really straightforward for all of us today, we can't live out God's purposes without God's power. We need God's power to live out God's purposes. We can know we're called to forgive others. We can know we're called to love those who hurt us, to heal the world, to serve the poor, to see those in bondage released. But we can't live out those purposes without God's power. Jesus does not call us to go out and perform. He wants to give us power to live. And the promise that was given to empower the believers was delivered on this weekend so many years ago. Pentecost weekend. Today is the global universal church's birthday. And as we look at how the church was birthed, I believe God wants to speak to us through his word again. This is what we read. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." And then Peter comes up and he preaches this message. And we read that 3,000 people were cut to the heart, convicted of sin, and gave their lives to Jesus and were baptized. It's an amazing moment. It's the birth of the church. But before we make our way through it, there's a few things I want us to notice that I think can help us learn to read our Bible in new ways. Maybe you know that the book of Acts was written by a guy named Luke, the same Luke that wrote the book, the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke chapter 2, we read about a Spirit-filled birth that changed everything. Luke goes to great detail to say the birth of Jesus was a Spirit-empowered birth for the sake of the whole world. Now, in Acts chapter 2, Luke is again wanting us to see that there is another Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered birth that is also for the sake of the world. And this birth is the birth of the church. And the first four verses, they explain what happened. The next nine unpack it. But let's look at the beginning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Notice it wasn't a coincidental on the day of Pentecost. It was when Pentecost came. There was a planning and a purpose, a fullness of time on this Pentecost day. Maybe you know this, but Pentecost, it means 50. And it was a day loaded with meaning. The day of Pentecost is the same time as the Jewish festival of Shavuot or Festival of Weeks, which was one of the big three festivals, which means Jews would pilgrim to Jerusalem. And it was about celebrating the first fruits of the harvest, celebrating what God had provided for them. But this festival became oriented around God giving Israel the law at Mount Sinai, which happened 50 days after the Passover, when the Israelites left Egypt. 50 days, they're celebrating God giving the law. While this celebration was happening, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's a beautiful, it's a dramatic moment, but the Spirit's coming was sensed in two ways. First, a violent wind from heaven. Notice it says the wind came from heaven. Just a few verses earlier in Acts chapter 1, we read that Jesus was taken to heaven. And Luke wants us to recognize that this is God delivering the promise. Jesus, who went to heaven, has now been with the Father sending the Spirit from heaven to earth. The promises of God are always yes. So there was this violent wind sensed. Next we read tongues of fire. Fire is regularly symbolic of God's presence. God is often called a consuming fire. We have Moses and the burning bush, the fire representing God. We see that when God led the Israelites through the desert at night, he led them with a column of fire. And when God gave Israel the law to shape the nation, which is what happened 50 days, Pentecost, when God gave Israel the law, the Ten Commandments, which was to shape their national identity, in Deuteronomy 5, we read, God spoke out of the fire to the people. Out of the fire to the people. So here on Pentecost, God is showing his followers that he's no longer going to lead them with a column of fire, but rather God is showing his people that his very presence has come to dwell upon and within the believers. Now, rather than speak out of the fire to the people, God is now putting his fire in his people to speak to the world. At Mount Sinai, God shaped the community out of the fire. Now at Pentecost, God is shaping his people from the inside out and sending them out with his fire. Everything has changed. After hearing and seeing these things, we're told every believer is filled, everyone. And they're empowered to speak the languages of all of the pilgrims that had descended upon Jerusalem. And what we need to know, really, is being filled with God's Spirit consumes everything. All of their senses. They heard, they saw, they felt, they were consumed. Their language was impacted. They were baptized, immersed in fire. Just as Jesus said. We carry on and we read, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. I love the responses of the people. All of the bewilderment, the utterly amazed, the amazement, the perplexed, like they're all perplexed. The power of God at work in his people baffled Jerusalem. Which I think shows us that there ought to be a power that is unexplainable about our lives and how we live in community. You know, I know it's easy to think, well, I'm not smart enough. I haven't been following Jesus long enough. I don't know enough theology. I don't know enough history. I'm not this or that enough. And it's so easy to self-select ourselves out of contention of joining God on mission. We disqualify ourselves. But I love the detail that the folks the believers were speaking to, the amazed ones, the perplexed ones, they said, wait. All these people that are speaking our language, they're just like ordinary Galileans. How are they speaking my language? And that's the point. We so easily elevate these early believers, but Jesus' brother himself says, look, Elijah, he was just a normal human like us. These believers were normal, everyday followers of Jesus like you and me. And yet when the believers were filled with the Spirit, they were empowered to speak the language of the people around them. Are we empowered to speak the language of the people around us? Perhaps you have the gift of a language and you can communicate to someone from a different part of the world. Acts 2 is, if you're familiar with church world, there's been a lot of debate about what's going on here, but one thing's very clear is these believers were speaking the language of other people from around the world. It's different than what Paul talks about in heavenly tongues. They were just speaking French or Spanish or the equivalent of that. Different languages, they were empowered to do that. And maybe God wants to empower you to do that as well. But we can all speak into the stories, the heartbeat of the stories of the people around us. Those most personal places in our soul, we can be empowered to speak to that in the people around us. We can talk about pain and purpose, longings and love and hopes and dreams. That's the heart language of so many people around us. And God empowers us to speak to that. At Sinai, when God spoke out of the fire to the Israelites, he was speaking to people who had just been slaves 7 weeks and a day earlier. And he was speaking to them, this is how you live. And God now empowers us, the freed ones in Jesus, to speak the language of the world around us that is still held captive to pain and brokenness and sin and destruction. Willie James Jennings, he writes that to speak a language is to speak a people. At Pentecost, God enables us to speak into the hearts of the people around us. Imagine what it would have been like for these pilgrims in Jerusalem, traveling from wherever it was that they came from. They go to Jerusalem to worship at this festival. And then when Peter preaches, right after the verses we read, they meet the risen Lord and they give their lives to him and they're filled with the Spirit, they're baptized. And then all these thousands of people scatter to go back to where they come from. Can you imagine the transformation? They left devout Jews and they're returning home talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and the Lord. What happened in Acts 2 literally changed the world because people were scattering all over. And I do not want us to miss the reality that right now in Canada, we have a remarkable opportunity. In the same way people had descended on Jerusalem, people from around the world have descended upon Canada right now. FAC, we can reach the world by reaching our city. We can reach the world by reaching our city. Imagine the possibility. Imagine the global impact around the world. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us and empower us to go out and to reach our city? You filled that living room. That first Pentecost, fill our rooms wherever we may be right now, that we may be empowered to see the world changed. Friends, when was the last time that we put our trust in God enough to step out of our comfort zone to have one of these conversations? Can you imagine if the disciples heard the wind from heaven and they saw the tongues of fire, and they felt the filling, and then they just stopped there? Can you imagine what they would have missed? They would have missed revival. They would have missed a world-changing moment. And yet I'm nervous that sometimes we do that ourselves. Too often we hear something or we feel something, but we fail to become something. We stop short of being empowered. We get so close, but we faceplant at the finish line. You know, all too often, we try to live out God's purposes without God's power. We hear something, we see something, or we feel something, but we don't become something. And God wants us to become empowered. We get so easily scared of being mocked, or perhaps we get too focused on feeling a sensation, and I just think we try to live God's purposes without God's power. And I'm tired of living that way. How many people are amazed at the power of God in our midst, full of wonder at God? I long for our community, for our lives to be lived in such a way that it is only explainable by God's power. You know, people can dismiss what we see. I didn't see it. And people can dismiss what we hear. I don't know if you heard that. People can dismiss what we feel, but people cannot dismiss a move of God's power. It's impossible to see God's power on the move and remain neutral. People might mock. People might make fun. But we might also have 3,000 people that come to faith in Jesus and get baptized and change the entire world. I long for God's power to be our story. May we be ordinary people filled and empowered by an extraordinary God. Someone noted that this passage, it could be considered the case of the dissolving walls. You know, we read at the beginning, they're all in a room together. They're waiting, they're anticipating. And then we read that the Spirit of God came, and it's like the walls just disappeared. All of a sudden, they were all out amongst the world. They were interspersed among the community, speaking the language of the people who were there. Where they were once gathered in fear, we read that they were next spread out among the people, speaking to thousands. And we see Peter, who was once dismayed, discouraged, full of fear, and denying his relationship with Jesus, now speaking to the very religiously devout people who would have crucified Jesus, saying, "You did this, and Jesus is risen, and he's Lord." And people are cut to their heart, and they come to know Jesus. Where people were once in the room full of fear, the Spirit of God came, empowered them, and they are out in the world. And when we are empowered by God, the walls dividing us from the world dissolve, and we go out. And I just want to speak bluntly here, lovingly here. I look at our world, and it just seems to me that too many people are more concerned about fighting to ensure that we can gather together in a room rather than being empowered to go out amongst the world. When I look at the birth of the church, it seems to me that the point of the gathering is so we can be scattering. You know, too often we hear something, we feel something, we see something, but we don't become something. And we are empowered by the Spirit of God to go out, to speak into the lives of the people around us. Now, I love gathering physically as much as anyone I have ever met. I miss gathering in this room with you. When we were open for a few weeks back in the fall, I wept on my way into the building. I miss worshiping with you. I miss hearing you sing. I miss being able to lay hands on people and pray and to be prayed for. I miss talking at Next Steps and walking down Main Street and seeing kids run all over. I miss physically gathering as much as anyone. But when the Spirit of God birthed the church, the doors of that house flung open wide and the church went out speaking the language of the people. And I just believe that this can be our moment. This can be our moment. We need a move of God that does more than just tickle our senses. We need a move of God that empowers us to go out in the world and to speak and to act with a power that dismantles the brokenness and the sin structures and systems that are out there, to see people set free. While we may not be gathered physically, the Lord knows and he sees us. And make no mistake, we are gathered right now. And this can be our moment. This can be our moment. So how does it? How does it become our moment? I think the clue is in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. What were they doing? At the very beginning, before the Spirit of God came, we read that they were simply doing what Jesus told them to do. They were doing what Jesus told them to. Jesus said, wait, so they were waiting. They were together, they were united, they were waiting. And church, we need to be united with one heart. Unity prepares the way for God to move in our midst. These believers were promised a gift. They were said, don't leave. So they were just waiting for days, anticipating, expecting, inconveniencing themselves, waiting for God to move in their midst. Are we doing that? Are we doing what Jesus has asked us to? Are we humbling ourselves? Are we loving and serving in the ways that we're called to? We live on this side of that first Pentecost, which means the Spirit has come, which means our call is to wait and to live obediently, to live expectantly, to live with anticipation for God to move in our midst and empower us again, to send his Spirit to us. We're gonna end slightly different this weekend. We're gonna pray together and ask and expect God to move in our midst. But first, we felt that it would be appropriate to have a response song, a chance for us all to prepare our hearts. We recognize that positioning ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God is not a flippant choice. It's a surrender. It's an emptying of self, saying, I will wait. I will trust. I will obey. I will expect, I will anticipate, and I will be here, whatever it takes, wherever it sends me, even if it means being mocked. That word in Acts 1:8, when Jesus says, you will be my witnesses, that means martyr. I will wait for your power to send me out to the world no matter what it takes. We want to ask God to fill us, but we don't want to rush into that moment. We want to worship and pray our way into it. So the worship team, they're gonna come, they're gonna lead us. And church, if you have seen something or heard something or felt something, God's invitation is to become something, to be empowered to go out. So let's pray, let's worship, let's ask God to move in our midst. And in a few moments, we will together in unity pray that God will send us out into this world and fill us with himself. Let's worship. Let's pray together in unity. Let's position ourselves before God and let's pray. Lord of power, of wind and fire, we celebrate the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, which you sent this weekend so many years ago. And just as the outpouring of your Spirit changed the lives of the believers and the world, we ask, may the burning fire of your Holy Spirit refine and renew us again. Breath of life, breathe on us this Pentecost. Make our consciences tender to your touch. We hunger for you. Strengthen us with power from on high so that we can know you and be filled with all of your fullness, God. You see our hearts. You see our lives. You see our unity. Dissolve the walls between us and the world to those you want to send us to. Stir the hearts of our city that we may speak your story there. We want what you want. Fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Church, if you need more prayer, we want to do that together. You can write it in the chat, you can just text this number, and someone will get in contact with you and pray for you. We've been doing this since the beginning, as followers of Jesus. But I want to send us out with this blessing from Ephesians chapter 3. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in this church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday, church. Much grace to you.